So happy Memorial Day, everybody. But yeah, I just wanted to share. I mean, we as a church have been doing a series, and it's called Speaking About Jesus. And I just wanted to keep in line with that. Yeah, but we as a church have been doing a series on speaking about Jesus. So I just wanted to actually zero in and focus in on the moment before Jesus went into ministry. I believe that we all have these defining moments. We all have some small, some large, and they call them rites of passages. And this one we will actually, in Luke here, let me see. In this passage here, Luke, that we'll be reading here in a little bit, this I believe is a defining moment for Christ. All right, so it says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. When they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority in their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' When the devil ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." So as we kind of think about that and meditate on that, I just want to open us up and commit this time to the Lord. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this day that we can celebrate and remember our troops that fought for our freedom. I just want to thank you, Father, for this country where we can worship you and worship you freely. I want to thank you most of all for your Son who died on the cross, who died for our sins, and now here is an example for us. So, Father, even now as we read and we go and dig deep into this word, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. I invite your Spirit even here now. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for who you are. In your Son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. So, just a little bit of background on Luke 4, 1 through 13. First of all, this passage was actually written to a man named Theophilus. And it says, actually, in the book openings, it says, it was so that he might see all that Jesus did and taught and have certainty about the things that has been taught. So this specific passage comes right after he was baptized and preparing for ministry, and then right before he goes public into ministry. So again, this is a defining point for Christ where we can learn, I think, a great deal about how to deal with temptations. So just to kind of define temptation, actually, temptation is a fundamental desire to engage in short-term urges for enjoyment that threatens the long-term goals. And the three kinds of urges that are actually outlined here is sensual, so it's like dealing with animal-like, I want, I get, so it's like going to Publix, I want a Skittles, I'm going to get it. And then the other type of urge is the urge of approval. It's dealing with the entitlement, it's over and against God's approval. And then the last temptation that it's actually dealing with is independence. So it's dealing with self-rule. You know, you are your own God. So as I defined that, I actually was reading this passage. And if you kind of noticed here in the second verse, it says, it says, "For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, he ate nothing. And during those days, when they were ended, he was hungry." When I first read the passage, I was like, he was hungry? That's it? 40 days in the wilderness and he's hungry? I think he'd start to be seeing things, like he's going a little crazy. So I actually read and I went and I researched that word, hungry. And it's a Greek word which means epinason, which means to crave ardently for. It means to seek with eager desire. And so I actually, you know, doing again some more research, and I saw that it's actually synonymous with the word used in Genesis. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and it was to be desired. So here Luke is making a pretty subtle point, but it's just to emphasize that Jesus was very much human. human during this test. He was full of desire. And so it's just to kind of remind us, remind his reader, which was first Theophilus, that he was a human. And these temptations are ones that are common to man. So here that Hebrew word was actually ta'ava, which means desire. It says here, temptation does not go away. That's one of the things that I think that we can take away from that passage. In verse 13, it says, the devil had ended every temptation, and he departed until an opportune time. And when I grew up, I remember thinking, oh man, so when I'm 18, when I get older, you know, I'm not going to have to deal with this. I'm not going to have to deal. No, no. When I'm married, when I have kids, no, no. Temptation's always going to be there. It does not go away. You know, and the writer sets up in the gospel an echoing effect that you're going to kind of see in Matthew 16, verse 21 to 23. I don't know if you guys remember that passage, but it's the passage where Jesus, he's about to go into Jerusalem, and he says, you know, I have to go this way. This is the way that the Lord is leading me. He's leading me to be crucified, and I'm going to be. And then Peter, you know, he steps him aside, and he's like, no, Jesus, no, you can't do it. He's like, no, get thee behind me, Satan. And it's right here. It's right here. It's in this passage that we can kind of hear. So the safe conclusion then is to expect temptations as a child of God. Temptations do not go away, but rather they come at the opportune time, which is every time. Now we have our phones. I remember when I was growing up, and I guess I'm dating myself a little bit. I'm surprised. I thought I was young, but no. There was a time when we used to have to wait for the internet to come on. There was AOL Instant Messenger. And we used to have to wait for dial-up, but now, temptation, what are you talking about? You could just ask Siri for temptation. But, sorry. Nah, don't do that. But let's just go on. Just keep on moving on. But just that's one of the things that I wanted to point out, is that temptation just does not go away. And then also, temptation draws us away from your identity. One of the things that Jesus is shown here, or the thing that's very, the motive that's actually repeated throughout this passage, it's actually, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. So all these temptations, the temptation of, you know, command the stone to become bread, it's all wrapped around this identity and him, the devil, trying to redefine the identity of Christ. So here it's just a reminder that temptations are a way to draw you away from that identity, your purpose here on earth. But with all the attempts, the same simple yet proven approach works, and it was Scripture. Jesus used Scripture. He meditated on Scripture. You know, he reminds us in that same passage that the things that we fill our lives with will eventually spring forth and gush forth. So one of the things that I was actually watching a movie one time, and it's actually going to play. There's a clip from it. And one of the things, it was a college movie. It was called We Are Marshall. And it's a movie about a man who, he was called. There was, again, Marshall, it's a college. It's a college, and the college actually experienced a lot of devastation. So what happened was the whole team got on a plane, and when they got on the plane, they actually, it crashed. So, you know, the whole team is now done. The whole town is done. They're crying. They don't know where to go. And then this man, he answers the call. They're looking for a new coach. He answers the call, and he says, you know what, I want to be that coach. And so I just wanted to actually give you guys a clip of that, because what he does in that answer to the call, I believe, is something that Jesus does in this same passage. So,
electricity went, water pressure was high, there's a six-pack of beer in the fridge, and a pound cake on the counter. Four. We appreciate the hospitality, we really do. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Attorney Salvatore, Herald Dispatch.
Now, realistically, Coach, what are your expectations for the season?
Well, I can tell you this. If it's a miracle you're looking for, you should keep looking, because you're going to end up disappointed, and I'm going to end up out of a job.
What would you say to the family members in the community who feel that putting a team in that field might be disrespectful?
I am a football coach. That is what I do, and that's why I'm here.
You know, in this video, again, you can probably go home and watch it a little bit more, but this coach is actually talking about identity, and he's not allowing anybody else to define him. He's not allowing anybody else to tell him what he's going to be doing, or he's not. People are able to flock towards him because he knew his identity. He didn't try to be anything else. He wasn't trying to be, you know, the comforter. He ended up comforting, but he knew his identity. And so it is with us when we stand firm in our identity that's actually, there's actually something that I believe that you can kind of take away from this passage, take away from that video, that we can all do, that we can all do when we're faced with temptations, when we're faced with, you know, again, growing up. You know, instead of, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I think that I might find myself, I want to still, instead of doing these, instead of the no's, we should fill ourselves with MDOS. It's just something that I came up with. MDOS, it means meditate. D is for dialogue. O is for open, being open and vulnerable. And then S is for seeking out a group. The way that we find our identity in Christ is simply by meditating on the scripture that he has given us. You know, as Jesus was put to the test, completely drained, completely human, completely hungry, he faced the enemy with scripture. It wasn't with wit. It wasn't with like, oh man, you know what? No, but wait a minute. I think I'm the Son of God, so I can. No, just scripture. He used scripture. And so I am encouraging, imploring you guys, meditate on scripture. Find some time. You know, now we have the phone where we can ask Siri. Find a passage for me, you know? The scripture that he meditated on. So again, he also was able to go against the enemy, even though he brought up scripture to him. Because there was one of the passages where he actually said, no, but look, it says, no, you got to meditate on it and make it become a part of you. And then D is dialogue with the Father. You know, on Monday nights, we have this thing called a prayer, prayer call. And I'm imploring our youth. Just come on. 9 to 9:15, just pray. Let's pray together. It's very, very encouraging. I mean, sometimes, I mean, it could be down, you know, like, oh man, this so-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. But it's also encouraging to hear little young voices. So we can dialogue with the Father. And one of the ways that we can dialogue with the Father is actually by using scripture. Jesus gave his disciples, Jesus gave his followers a template, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be our name. Not to just stay there, but just to use as, again, as a template. So we can do the same. We can use scripture to pray to the Father. You know, this is a little bit touchy, but when you're meditating on scripture and you're finding that scripture that you can meditate on and then you're dialoguing with the Father, I believe that he will lead you to someone that you can be open and vulnerable with. Choose someone that you can be open and vulnerable with about your sin, and not just choose, but actually go and be open and vulnerable. So it says in James, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So you want to choose one person that you can
again say, you know what, this is what I'm struggling with. And then you can pray with one another. You know, when I used to play Little League, and actually I'll invite the praise team back up. It's actually a shorter sermon than I thought. When I used to pray Little League, there was a time when I was given an opportunity. It was my defining moment to prove my worth on the team. And so the coach, he used to call us Edwards, or he used to call us by our last name. And I just remember he was coming over, and he was like, "Hey, Edwards, I need you. I need you to move over into left field. Because I know this guy, he's going to be hitting it there. He's going to be hitting it over in left field." And so I moved over. I was excited, and I did one wrong move, and then I jumped up, and I missed the ball. And that was actually the game right before playoffs, so like we screwed up, and so I'm teared up. I'm crying. I'm like, "Oh, man, what did I do? Oh, I'm sorry, coach. I messed up." And my coach looked at me. He's like, "It's all right. You played well, and I'm proud of you." I believe that story is the type of family that we're invited into in the family of Christ, in the family of believers. Instead of saying, "You know what, no, I thought," no, we just be open, be sincere about your openness, about your vulnerability, so that then the passage that talks about, though he scoffs at the scoffers, though he scoffs at the mockers, he gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to when you're humble and you're just open and you're like, "Oh, I really am struggling with this thing." And then the last one is S. Seek out a group of people. You know, with at least three people, continuing, commit to growing in Christ. Growing in your identity as followers of Christ. Lifting one another up. You know, and ultimately trust God to lead you and to guide you. You know, temptation is a battle faced daily that has consequences. And again, it's not going to be the, "I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that." It's rather, it's the positive things that you're doing. It's the meditating, the dialoguing, the being open and being vulnerable, and clinging to that identity in Christ that we find through meditating on Scripture. Clinging to our identity helps us resist the devil and the temporary fixes that have no eternal solutions.